ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। A question was asked by the disciple to the teacher, Hey Bhagwan, O Lord, O Guru, please tell me that knowledge by which all my sins will be destroyed, and that knowledge which is acquired by the very pure-minded people and the wise men. So the answer was given by the Guru, who is none other than Brahmaji, the creator, saying that the three methods of realizing this knowledge is Shraddha, faith, devotion, bhakti, and dhyana. Faith, extremely essential. We have seen in way back in Tathabodh also that Bhagavan Shankaracharya in the Shat Sampati, faith is one of that. The inner values that need to be developed by a seeker, which will make him qualified for this knowledge, and faith is a very important part of it. Unless we have faith in God, in Guru, in the scriptures, in the means, in our own self, it will not be possible. Love also is extremely essential for the knowledge, because that is what will keep us on the path. Because if it is something which we don't like, even in ordinary life, if there's something that we don't like or enjoy very much, we will tend to leave it. So therefore, this devotion for the Guru, extremely important. I've always told you that this knowledge has to enter through the heart. If it enters through the intellect, it will become intellectual information. And that's what most of us, that's what happens. At the intellectual level, there is an understanding. But at the mental level, because there is no purity, the knowledge gets distorted. It is not understood correctly. Even though it is understood, it is not understood correctly. And so mind plays a very important part in spiritual knowledge. The purity of the mind is extremely important. All right. Then the Guru went on to say, what cannot give liberation? Na karmana, na prajaya, na dhanena. So no karma will give liberation. Prajani and wealth. These three things cannot give liberation. They are finite, and what will alone, tyagena, tyagena eke, alone, tyaga, renunciation is what will give this liberation. And what am I supposed to renounce? Am I supposed to renounce anything physically? No, physical renunciation is not required. What is required is a mental renunciation of the world. And the world, because it is gross, and mental renunciation can only happen when I stop giving so much reality to the world. When I give reality to the world, I think, then I give reality to the happiness, the thought of happiness in the world. Because if I'm walking in a desert, and once I see the mirage, and I first time I get deluded, okay, I think, oh, there's water, I am thirsty, I go there. Fine, I got deluded once. The second time I see that mirage, I will not get deluded. Because why? Because the reality in that water has been negated. The first time I thought it was real. I thought it will quench my thirst. And I ran over there. But now the reality, unless we stop giving reality to the world, we will never give up the sense of happiness in the world. We can't. We can't. As long as we keep thinking the world is real, we will go on running after it for happiness and running away from what we think is sorrow. The next level of renunciation is the body, mind, and intellect. This also has to be renounced physically. Physically, no. not that we destroy the body. After, if we destroy the body, there'll be birth again because the jiva is there full of vasanas. So what is to be renounced is a is a mental renunciation has to be done. And the same thing, it is to negate the body in the mind, to understand that it is false. It is something which will end. It is something which I am not. That's why I can see the body. I can see my mind. What I can see, I cannot be. If I see the computer, there's no way I can be the computer. Understand that you can see your own thoughts. So you are not the thought. And that thought has to be renounced, that I am the thought. That's why I say I'm angry, I'm happy, I'm depressed. All this I am should turn into my mind is angry, my mind is happy, my mind is, it should come automatically. A separation must happen automatically in that. And that's what is meant here by Tyagena Eke. Only renunciation will give you this. But then he went on to say that those who realize this, at the end of their lifespan, they will go to Brahmaloka. Here, Brahmaloka does not mean the world of Brahmaji. It means the world of Brahman. Not the world of Brahman, but we use those words, Brahman itself. So a point of no return. And then the guru starts his discourse on dhyana, how is meditation to be done. So that was explained in mantra number 5, sitting in a place of solitude, sukha asana, steady, stable and comfortable position, posture of the body, because we have to transcend the body. So unless the body is comfortable, we will not be able to transcend it. If there is some pain here, itch there, something happening, soreness, this, that, the mind is going to go there. It's a natural tendency. So body has to be extremely comfortable, but not like sleeping position either, sitting position, and purity, external purity, and obviously, internal purity is required. If there is no internal purity and you maintain an external purified atmosphere, meditation will not be possible because meditation is by the mind. So actually, a realized master, like if you take the example of Raman Maharshi, he was sitting at the back of the altar, that temple there, and people were throwing garbage there and he was in samadhi. So for higher masters, external situations will not, but when we are at this lower stage, we better sit in a clean place. Because if there's some odor coming, something, then our attention is going to go there. Okay, so in the higher stage, so Bhagavan Raman Maharshi's example tells us that internal purity is more important than external purity. Because you can, once you're internally, if you can disconnect from the mind and the senses, the external signals don't matter. Don't matter. They matter to us because we are not yet fully disconnected. Atyashramastha, transcending all the ashramas. If we sit in a place, even in ordinary, you know, when you go to work, if you go as a mother, then you're going to constantly be worried about the children. If you go as a wife, you're going to be worried about the husband. If you go as a daughter, you're going to be worried about the parents. So when you go to work, you have to only be an employee and then worry only about the work. Same way in meditation, it's very parallel. This spirituality, which is mental, and external, our worldly jobs or whatever, they're very parallel. But the internal world is much, much harder, much more difficult to do because it's subtle. So it's just like when we go to work, we have to go only as an employee and not anything else. Same way, when we sit in the seat of meditation, we have to sit as nobody, as a meditator only. Not as a mother, a father, a brother, you know, as an employee, you must let go of the work as well. Because if you don't let go, it's very simple. If you don't let go, your thoughts are going to go there. Today, this happened at work, that happened at work and all that. So that's why Atyashramastha. And all the senses under control. That's what we saw, Bhagavan Sri Krishna's, the chariot example, all the reins, which is the mind, is in the control of the intellect. And then saluting the guru, you meditate in the cave of your heart. Okay, even though the Lord is all pervading, I've told you many times, we cannot meditate on the Lord in any external object. It has to be in the cave of one's own heart. And then 13 pointers were given, which were on the formless. when we meditate on the formless, we have to meditate, is I am unthinkable, I am formless, I am this, I am that. Because if you start conceptualizing Brahman is formless, Brahman is unthinkable, and there's Brahman somewhere else, then you're objectifying it. So we need to go to the final subject. So when we meditate on the formless, it has to be, I am that. Aham Brahmasmi. So I am whatever, Achintyam, Avyaktam, Anantam, Arupam. I am infinite. I am without any limitations. I am without form. I am auspicious. I am Prashantam, extremely peaceful. And I am the substratum Brahma Yonim. I am the substratum of Brahmaji. The creator himself has come out of me. Me as the Supreme Self. So that is how this meditation in Mantra 6 has to proceed. If you can do it, it's very, very difficult. It's not that easy. And the reason it is not that easy is because we are already established in form. When we are established in form, it becomes extremely, to go from form to formless all of a sudden, it's like going from kindergarten to grade 12. Boom. You can't do it. Because we are, so therefore Shruti, in her compassion, she says, okay, you are established in form. I give you a form. You meditate on the form. Now, when you're meditating on the form, that duality can be maintained. In the formless meditation, you cannot have duality. You cannot think that there is something else which is infinite. It can't be, because if you're here and if that is there and that is infinite, infinity is negated, because you're here and you're saying that something else is there which is infinite. It can't be. It can't be. I am here. That means I've already set a boundary. And when there is a boundary, infinity is lost. Limitlessness is lost. So you cannot, in the formless meditation, it has to be, I am all this. But because it becomes extremely difficult, I told you even in chapter 12, Bhagwan says, Saguna Bhakti is easier. Better go for Saguna Bhakti with form, because you're established in form. Bhagwan Raman Maharshi has said the same thing. He was asked, does God have a form or does not have a form? He said, what do you have? You tell me first. Do you have a form or no form? Of course, I'm going to say, of course I have a form. Okay, then God has a form too. As long as you're established in that, you need the form. And therefore, he gives the meditation on Uma and Parameshwar. But Ishta Devata, any Ishta Devata, if your Ishta Devata is Bhagwan Krishna, you need not go into Shivji and Parvatiji. You go into Krishna, meditate on his form. You know how beautiful it is, that whatever. Here he's given because Shruti has said Shivji, Ishwara. So Trilochanam, I told you the three eyes of wisdom, love and justice. Neelakantham, I told you for us, Neelakantham means you swallow the poison, but you don't let it go completely inside, and neither do you spit it out to other people so that you don't spread it. Prashantam, beyond Shanti and Ashanti. Dhyatva, Munir Gachati, Bhuta Yonim, Samasta Sakshin, Tamasa Parasta. Dhyatva, having meditated on the form of Lord Shiva like this, the meditator, the Muni, Mananashila Muni, he will go beyond darkness. Tamasa. Darkness here doesn't mean physical darkness, ignorance. He will go beyond ignorance. What is the ignorance? I am this body is the ignorance. The world is real is ignorance. That there is happiness in the world is ignorance. All this is, I am a mother, ignorance. I am an employee, I am a CEO, I am a doctor, I am an engineer. Anything beyond I am is ignorance, total ignorance. So that will go away, all right? I think we had read verse 8 last time, right? If I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah. So then the next mantra, 8, yeah. There was formless, form, and both, a mixture of both. So he says, Sa Brahma, Sa Shiva. By saying that he is only Brahma, he is only Shiva, all forms. And for us in our day-to-day life, that thought, that vision, we must bring in all the people. See, this is in the seat of meditation, okay? Actually, when you're meditating, then you say, even if I say Brahmaji, even if I say this, yeah. See, your altar at home has all the deities. That is the whole idea of this. So there are all these deities. You pray to them. And initially you think, okay, this is Brahma and this is, you know, X, Y, Z, all these deities. But what it must lead to, those prayers must lead to, is understanding the oneness between them. That is the first step. First, you must understand that, yeah, okay, Krishna is my favorite and okay, fine. But then Mata Rani is there, Shivji is there, Ram is there, you know, all this. They are all one. They are not different. That's how that understanding has to come. And then that understanding has to be transferred to the outside world. That it's not they are all one, but I am different from you and you are different from me. Then that also doesn't work. So first, oneness in the altar, within the altar, your home altar, where there are many, many deities. And then that oneness has to get transferred outside into the world. Once it gets transferred, this is what Bhagwan Ramana Maharshi says, once that vision of oneness gets transferred into the outside world, into your day-to-day life, you actually need not worship at home, he says, or go to a temple. That is what he says. Because Bhagwan Ramana Maharshi is always talking from the highest standpoint. He said, bring that vision into the world, then you don't need this puja. But at our stage, we need everything. We need to bring the vision, but we need puja also because we have not read that. So this is, and then he says, saha akshara parama swarata. So that is formless. Imperishable. When you say imperishable, there cannot be a form. If there is a form, it will perish. It has to perish. In the ultimate analysis, it has to perish. I've given you the example of Ramakrishna Paramahansa, who had even to kill the form of Mata Rani, Mother Kali, he had to kill that form. If you have to have that oneness, oneness can only happen in the formless. With form, oneness cannot happen. The actual oneness cannot come in form because form will be there for both are limited. There's a limited form. There's a limited form. They cannot become one. That form has, this form has to be removed. This form has to be removed. And then only the one. That's the whole basis of Tattvamasi. How does Tat and Tvam become one? Only in essence, they are one. When you drop the upadhi of Maya and you drop the upadhi of Avidya, then what remains is the pure consciousness, and that is the oneness. So oneness can only come in formless. Otherwise, therefore, when we meditate on the formless, that I am should come. There is nothing else. Me only, this is all about me only. That feeling has to come in the seat of meditation, which is not very easy. And that's why Shruti has given us this thing. Now, next, mantra 9. Sa eva sarvam yad bhutam yaccha bhavyam sanatanam nyatva tam rutyumateti nanya pantha vimuktaye. He alone is all that was and all that will be the eternal. Knowing him, one goes beyond the sting of death. There is no other way to reach complete freedom. So, saha eva, sahi, eva, alone, sarva yad bhutam, bhutam, whatever has happened in the past, means past. And whatever is coming, bhavyam is future. Whatever is going to come in the future. So, past and future, when they talk about, it represents time. Past and future is a representation of time. Time, or in the present moment, actually, in the moment, there is no time. In that moment, right at this moment, actually there is no time. We are transcending time. But our mind is constantly remembering the past and constantly imagining the future. What will happen tomorrow? What is going to happen tomorrow? And what has happened in the past? So what Shruti is saying is, he is only that. So that means he is beyond time. Time is eternal. You know, that's why the saying is there, tomorrow never comes. You know why? Because when it is tomorrow, it will become today. So the reality is only today. Yesterday is gone, is dead. Tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, Tuesday, tomorrow will come. We won't say tomorrow has come. We will say today. It is today. Okay. So what is time? Time, I told you, is a superimposition on the pure consciousness. It is not real. Time is not real. It is superimposition. So it has come from the supreme reality, and therefore the unit of time, Gurudev said, is second. There was no time in the first. There was actually no time. Time is an interval between two events, or time is an interval between two thoughts. And when the thoughts merge, time freezes, as in deep sleep. Therefore, when you fall asleep, sometimes we wake up and we think, oh, I've slept for 2-3 hours and it's only 5 or 10 minutes. Sometimes I think, oh, only 5 minute nap, I got, and 1 hour has gone by. Why? Because time is only in the mind. It is an event, it is a distance between two thoughts or two events, right? So when the mind is folded, time folds as well. There's no time. And therefore, what he says is, Sanatana, it is eternal in the sense this present moment is eternal. Why? Because ever since I was, I don't know what happened before, but ever since I was born, this moment has been available to me. Therefore, this present moment is said to be eternal. Because this moment is eternally available to me. When the next moment comes, the next moment is available, the previous moment is past. Then the next one. So every moment to moment, this is an eternal moment that is available to me. And I can only act in the present moment. I cannot act in the past. And I don't know whether the future is going to come. I don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. So action is only possible in the present moment. And therefore, it is said that if you remain in the present moment, you are in the presence. Because Brahman is only in the present moment. It is right here and now. And therefore, one who recognizes this, nyatva, having known that there is no past, it is gone. Gurudev used to say, if you start taking things from the past, it will stink. It's dead matter. And dead matter stinks. So therefore, one practice for spiritual seekers is never to talk about the past. Okay? And Nyatva, having known mrutyu, what is mrutyu? Death. What is death? Death is change. Death is nothing but change. If you really analyze death as we know it, we say, oh, the person died, right? Okay, think about it. What happened to this person? This person was alive and well and everything, and now he's dead. Technically, what has happened is the subtle body has separated from the gross body. That is the technical definition of death, right? Because in the subtle body, the reflection of pure consciousness is happening, which is giving life to that inert matter called body. Body is inert. Always it is inert only. Okay. Now, because of the presence of the subtle body, which is only present in live beings like humans and animals and plants and not in stone and inert objects, the subtle body is not there. That's why the life force is not there. That is why we call them as inert. All right. So a separation of the subtle and the gross body is called as death. Now, the body is there. We cremate the body or we bury the body. That body is made up of the five elements. Where does it go? It goes back into the five elements. So actually, is it destroyed? No, it is recycled because the same elements are now going into the formation of some other body. Okay. The jiva, suppose if the jiva has got vasanas, it will take another body. So it never died. The jiva cannot die. Why? Because mame ausha jiva loke. My ausha is jiva. If Bhagwan can't die, how the his part will die? So the jiva cannot die. So that is immortal. The soul is immortal. The body is being recycled. What happened? Only a change in form happened. That body dropped that jiva dropped that form and is going to take up some other form which we don't know. But actually only recycling is happening. Even when you go into quantum physics says in the last moment of destruction of matter, it converts into energy. So even matter never can be destroyed. It is only recycled. So death is only a change. It is only a recycling. That's why they say, life is a comedy to those who think. Life is a tragedy to those who feel. So when this analysis about death is done, and having known this perfectly, like you have to be completely established in this. Otherwise, you can never come out of the thought, why did it happen? Why did it happen? Constantly, you will go in that why business. And if you want to know why it happened, because that was the length of life that body had. That jiva has finished its work in that body and that jiva is going to leave the body no matter what. It doesn't care. Jiva doesn't care. There are small children, there are aged parents, there's this, I've got this whole business. Who will look after the business? the jiva does not care. Okay, its work in that body is over, it goes away. So having known this principle of time, one goes beyond death, because time is, like I told you, time is what is changing, we think, but we are that changeless substratum. That is the whole idea. And death is also change. Time is also change. But am I time? I'm not. Am I changing? I'm not. So having known that firmly in our mind, we will transcend death. Physically, we can never transcend death. Okay? It's not like this body will go on living forever and ever and ever. No, never possible. This is how. And na anya pantha vimukte. There is no other way to liberation. Visheshena mukte means extreme liberation. Liberation from all sorrows. Because moksha, mukti or moksha is atyantik dukkha nivruti and paramananda prapti. There are two things there. Atyantika means extreme release from sorrows. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan says that once the person realizes, even the greatest sorrow will not shake him. The greatest sorrow will not shake him because he's gone beyond that. He has identified himself with the changeless substratum. So there is any kind of change that happens is not going to affect him, because he is. Very simple example of Gurudev to give. He is holding on to the lighthouse. No matter how high the waves come and how low the waves come, he doesn't shake because he is firmly holding on to the lighthouse. Gurudev's example. If you hold on to the log of wood, you're going to go up, you're going to go down, you're going to go up, you're going to go down. But with the lighthouse, nothing like that is going to happen. Okay? All the changes happen in time. You transcend time. You transcend change. And death is what? Change. So that's why you transcend death as well. Okay? Okay, next one.
Sarvabhutastamatmanam sarvabhutani chatmani sampashyan brahma paramam yatinanena hetuna.
Experiencing one's own self in all beings and all beings in the self, one attains the highest Brahman and not by any other means. Once again, Sarva Bhutastam, staying in chapter 7, Bhagavan Sri Krishna has said this. He says, I am in all the beings, no being is in me. Okay, to give you a very, very simple example. The computer is plugged in to electricity and that is why it is working. So it is like electricity saying, I am in the computer is not in me. And not in me and I am in there meaning the computer is dependent on me for its existence. I am not dependent on the computer for my existence. Whether I unplug or plug in the computer, electricity stays. Nothing is happening to the electricity. But if I don't have electricity and I try to plug in the computer is not going to work. And that is what is meant by this. When Bhagwan says, I am in them, I am in all the beings, he says that all the beings are dependent on me. It is, if you take Bhagwan Ramana Maharshi's example, he gives the example of the ocean, the water, the ocean and the waves. So the water is the pure consciousness. Okay, ocean is Ishvara and wave is a creation of Ishvara. So the waves keep looking at each other and then there is a feeling of competition, jealousy, like, I like this wave, I don't like that wave, likes, dislikes, hatred, all these things when the attention of the wave is on the wave, on another wave. But when that wave shifts its attention to the ocean, there is none of these feelings will come. Meaning, ocean means individual. As long as my attention is on another individual, I will always have a life of strife, competition, jealousy, likes, dislikes, hatred, this, that, etc., etc. But the minute I shift my attention to the Lord, I do not compete with the Lord. I do not have jealousy towards the Lord. I do not have, nobody has ever said, going to Guruvayur, God, you are so rich and I am poor. Has anybody said that? But look at my neighbor. I say, oh God, this guy has got 3 cars and now he's buying a 4th one and he wants a parking lot and he's so rich. But I don't say that when I look at the deities. Right? So it becomes a relationship of submission. When my attention is shifted to Ishvara, it becomes a relationship of submission because I know that Ishvara is Sarva Shaktiman. I am not Sarva Shaktiman. If I want something, if I have sorrows, I need to go to Ishvara and Ishvara can solve them. But from the standpoint of water, water looks at ocean and what is water going to like the ocean or not like the ocean? What is it going to say? This is not water, me only it is. What is there to like or dislike? Okay, water looks at wave and is water going to say wave is this wave is tiny and that wave is big? Water is going to say this tiny wave is also me. The big wave is also me. Sarva bhutastam atmanam. I, as water, in the wave, I am in the wave, in the bubble, in the foam, in the ocean. There cannot be any difference for me as regards to the multitude of beings that are on the earth. So when pure consciousness, from the standpoint of pure consciousness, whether it is a human being, it's a male, female, child, old, animal, insect, bug, plant, even stone. Your consciousness, it's in me only. So there's no difference. Okay? Sarva Bhuta. And they are all dependent on me. Can the wave exist without water? Can the ocean exist without water? Can a gold chain exist without gold? Gurudev's very humorous example in one of the Gita, Bhagavad Gita chapters. He says, this mother-in-law came from, it's his example, okay? Not me. I'm not saying that. The mother-in-law came from South India. She had a gold chain. She told it to Bombay. She came, Mumbai, Bombay that time. She told the son-in-law, sell my chain and bring me back the gold. Is that possible? No. She said, don't just sell the chain. You cannot. You cannot separate. The form from the essence cannot be separated. If you separate the essence, the form doesn't remain. Sarva Bhutastam Atmanam. I am in all, staying in all beings. Sarva bhutani atmani, in the self, all understand. This understanding has to come. So I, as the supreme reality, is in and through this creation. I am this. This is the realization that is to come in the seat of meditation. Okay? Whether you meditate on the formless or the form also, this realization has to come. You will begin with saying that the form is different and let me meditate on the form. Let me meditate on the form. But it has to end in that oneness of formlessness. It has to. And when that happens, this realization will come. That I alone am the substratum of this entire world. This entire world of beings and things and objects and whatever is dependent on me. Therefore, we say the world is only in my mind. It is not out there. It is how I look. When I am happy, I feel the world is all happy, happy. When I am depressed, I think the whole entire world is depressed. Think about it. Think about it, right? Sampashyan brahmam, brahma paramam. Sampashyanam means very, pashyan is to see. Pashyati, pashyasi. Samyak means very well seen. Seen means here established in the thought that this entire thing is the Supreme Brahman alone. Sampashyan Brahman par yati nani nahito. There is no other way. There is no other way to liberation without, unless you understand the oneness between you and all the beings. The self in me is the self in all, has to be understood. No, unless you understand that yourself. And that's why it cannot be given to, that understanding cannot be given to you. The knowledge can be given. The spiritual masters are telling us this. But the realization for us has to be our own experience. And it has to come in the seat of meditation alone. Meditation is the only way to Nirvikalpa Samadhi. And it is the only way to that oneness. You cannot there is no other way. This is what is being said. Yati nanena hetuna. Now, in the day-to-day, in our day-to-day life, what practice we can do is, see, you have to understand, this is a very subtle thought. So if you have understood up to here, you have understood the verse, so there's no problem. But if you want to go a bit further, deeper, see, I am speaking, okay? Now, there is some other entity in me who is observing the speaking. Do you understand this point? See, in Mundaka Upanishad, if you look at the cover of Mundaka Upanishad, the cover means is there's a mantra in there. It says that there is a tree and there are branches in that tree. Then on the branches, there are two identical birds sitting. Okay, this is the analogy that the Upanishad gives. Two very identical birds. But there is still a difference between them. What is the difference? One of the bird is pecking at the fruit and enjoying it. So the bird is enjoying, eating and enjoying. And the other bird is only watching. This thought, this, I don't know what even to call it, thought, intuition, feeling, you must start recognizing it in yourself. So see, I am speaking, but at the same time, I am aware that I'm speaking. You understand? So I am speaking is the small I. What is speaking is the jiva or the ego. But then there is the sakshi consciousness. That is called the witness consciousness. In English, witness consciousness or sakshi chaitanya, which is the other bird, which is only this bird is enjoying. That's why, you know, I go, I see a movie, I enjoy. I go here, I enjoy. I eat that, I enjoy. I see this. So this bird is all enjoying. But while this enjoyment is going on, there also is that witness which is observing within me only. Not that you are, for you are listening, but there also is an entity which is aware that you are listening. There is an entity which is aware that you're writing notes. There is an entity which is aware that you're sitting in front of a computer. You understand? You see? So that separation has to become stronger and stronger and stronger, so that you come to a stage where immediately you will identify with the Sakshi Chaitanya and understand that I am that. I am not this one who is speaking or listening or doing or writing or enjoying, but I am the one that is observing all this. Right? That it has to be achieved in day-to-day life. In day-to-day life. I perceive and at the same time, I'm aware that perception is happening. Most of the time, most of the people don't even understand this difference. They don't even see it within themselves. They say, okay, I'm seeing a movie, I'm perceiving, I'm talking, I'm listening, I'm whatever, cooking, eating, dancing, singing, finished. That I just ends there. It doesn't. That is what the knowledge tells us. And intellectually understand this and start observing it within yourself. Even right now, as I speak, I know that I'm speaking. And who is that I? That is the Sakshi Chaitanya. And I am that Sakshi Chaitanya, and I am not this one who's speaking. All right, this is to be understood. Sarva bhutastam atmanam, sarva bhutani cha atmani. So all the beings are in me, but I am not in them. So it is sarva bhuta, staying in all beings means seeing the water in all the waves. If you take our example of water, ocean and waves, we must see, when we look at the wave, we say, oh, this wave is small and that wave is big. So our attention is on the form. What I must see is, oh, that's water. That's water. Gurudev has this another story that he used to tell. One villager came from the village to Mumbai, to Bombay. And he told his friend, I want to see the ocean. I want to see the ocean. I've heard that there is a big ocean here. So... So the friend said, yeah, sure, no problem. We'll go to Chowpatty and there's a beach there and ocean there and everything. And he took his friend to the beach. And he said, this is the ocean. And he said, where is the ocean? I don't see the ocean, the villager said. He said, what do you mean? This is the ocean. He says, no, I see only water. I don't see the ocean. Where is your attention? Vedanta is only a shift of attention. It is not a change, external change, changing situation, changing, you know, I want to go live in an ashram. I want to go live in a mountaintop. No, if your mind is not purified enough, mountaintop and ashram is not going to do anything. Actually, what we need to do is our own house, especially for householders, our own house, we have to convert it into an ashram. And that is the mental vision. So seeing the water in all the waves means seeing the substratum in all the individuals is sarva bhutastam atmanam, and sarva bhuta bhutani chatmani is the understanding that all the waves are nothing but water. Okay, one thing is to see the water in the waves. The next understanding is all the waves are nothing but water. That's where that differentiation will stop. Otherwise, it can never stop. Unless you go to the essence, that I'm tall, I'm short, I'm intelligent, I'm dull, I'm this, and never, endless it is. Okay? So when you see this, some person, one attains highest Brahman, and not by any other means, seeing this, only we can attain that Brahman. There is no other way. Now, okay, Bhagwan, you told us all this. Now, how exactly am I supposed to do this? Shruti says, Bhagwan says, here, I'm telling you. Atmanam aranim krutva pranavam chotararanim jnana nirmathanabhyasat pasham dahati panditaha. Making the ego the lower arani and om the upper arani by repeated churning through the practice of the path of knowledge, Jnana nirmathana abhyasa, a wise man burns up all the cords of his bondage. This arani is a thing I'm sure some of you know. It used to be made in the past to create fire. Even now, you know, like when they go to camp, you know, Boy Scouts and Girl Guides, so the matches and the lighter and all was not there. They will rub two sticks of wood to create fire. That's the same idea here. Arani means there used to be a low, there's a cup. I have not seen myself. I've only heard cup, and there is a cup like one below and one above. And I believe there is a stick in there, which is rubbed. See, even when yajnas and all are done, this is how fire has to be created. They don't use, I think now they use matches only, but of authentically very this thing, that is there to create the friction between the two pieces of wood will create the fire. That is what creates fire. Now that example has been used here, and Bhagwan Shankaracharya has used the same analogy in Atmabodh. So he says, Atmanam, here Atma here should be taken as Jiva. Lower Arani, the lower, this, you know, in the two birds, I told you the analogy, the Atma, the first Atma here, or first means Atma word is used for the bird who is enjoying. And Pranavam, Oma, is the bird which is not enjoying. So it is the Sakshi Chaitanya. Okay. And this has to be, Mathana is to churn. You know, we saw the Mathana of the milky ocean, or, you know, the butter is, we go back and forth, the yogurt, you know, how they used to do previously, even with the, now we have a mixer blender, but in my childhood, of course, that rope thing was not there, but there's that wooden stick and mom will go like this, right? So she's going back and forth churning the yogurt to make buttermilk and then get butter. So that churning has to be done in the mind. Now, Atmaram, two Aranis here, is the low, one is the lower mind, one is the higher mind. Or you can take one as the mind, one is the intellect. So these are the two entities that are within us. See, this is all self-analysis. Okay, nobody else can help us. So there is no need to go and discuss it with other people and all that. No. It is a discussion within ourselves. That has to supposed to be happening. All right. So the lower mind is saying, no, 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 I am the body, and you know, body is real, and the world is real, and I want to enjoy the world, and there's all this happiness, and I want to do this, and I, like the gentleman last week, he said, I want to chase this dream, and I want to chase that dream, and I want to do this and that and that. Now, the upper mind or the intellect, and Bhagavan Krishna has used this in chapter 6 as well. With your own self, you, this is exactly the same thing. So the intellect has to now guide the mind, saying, no, it is not real. This world is ever changing. It is not real. Your happiness is not there. Your happiness lies in inside here. We are ourselves the source of happiness. Don't go running out. So this sort of churning has to happen. So that is, you know, that rope example is used in Amrit Bindu Upanishad. So that rope which is tied to the stake, and that person is going back and forth, back, and you know, the rope goes like this, like this. So I am the jiva. No, 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 no. Guru is telling me I'm not the jiva. Oh, the world is real. No, 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 no. Guru is telling me the world is not real. Happiness is no. No, 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 no. So this is called this mathana. Mathana is churning, basically. Churning has to happen within our own mind, within ourselves. It is not a churning which is now you're going to create, talk to other people and create friction. Don't bother. This is the mistake that we do. Sometimes we learn all this and then you want to go, no, this is why, there's no point. People who don't understand, they don't understand. So within yourself, do this churning. And Amrit Bindu Upanishad gives the example of, see, the butter is actually present in the milk already. Okay, but there is a process to get at it. So first the milk has to be converted into yogurt, then the yogurt has to be churned, and then the butter will separate. Okay, same way the self is mixed with us already. Already it is there. It is not like we are getting it from somewhere. It is not being created new. So it's already there. Butter also is not new butter came into that yogurt. No, it was already within, in and through that milk it was there. In and through the yogurt it was there. And then it got separated only by churning. So same way, the self is within us even at this moment. Even though I don't know it or I don't realize it, it is there. Now what is required to separate that self or separate the butter is the churning. And that's why this mathana is word is used. So the churning has to be there constantly. And experiences also will tell us, you know, I ran after this happiness. Now I got happiness. Jnanasara we have studied, right, in this class, Guruji's book. See, in Jnanasara, that's what he example he gives, that I attained fame. The person says, oh, I got money. I wanted fame, name, game, this, that, all that I got. But I still don't feel happiness. That is the mathana. That has to start happening. As the mind purifies, you start thinking, okay, I did all this. I'm still not happy. Why? That is be a turn. So this butter is then like the self. So the realized master who is like the butter, if you know, butter, you can keep it in a vessel by itself. No problem. Butter, you can keep it in water. No problem. It'll stay. It'll float and stay. Or you can keep it in the buttermilk itself. Nothing happens to the butter. So the realized master is like that. Alone in solitude, no problem. He doesn't feel lonely. The walls are closing on me. Where should I go? What should I do? Who has to? Who? Nobody phoned me. Nothing. Alone, he's happy. Okay, you keep him in water. Keep him in the company of some people. No problem. You keep him in the bottom. You keep him in the world, in the midst of all. Like we see Swami Vivekananda, Gurudev, in the midst of people. No problem. They can remain as is. When you look at Raman Maharshi and all, they chose to be in solitude. Right? So that is why this butter example is given. So this is what he's saying, that in this Arani, in that, when that churning happens, when the two sticks of wood are rubbed against each other, a fire is created. And in that fire, therefore this dahati word is used, burned. What is the nature of fire? It will burn anything that comes in contact with it. Fire doesn't discriminate. It's a child, it's an old person, it's a blind person. He didn't see the fire. He didn't know the fire was here. You come in contact too close to the fire, fire will burn. Same way, when this mathana, when this churning is done, this fire is created. In that fire, these ropes of bondage, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan uses the ropes of hopes. You know, we are tied by the ropes of hopes. What is the hope? You know, the hope, I will get happiness if I have this. I will get happiness if I have that. I will get happiness if this happens, if that happens. That is a rope that is tying us to the world. And the reason that I'm tied is because I have said that that is real. I have said that it is real. The minute I know it's an illusion, I'm free. There is no rope tying me down. It's like the rocket is tied to, you know, to is this thing. That is snapped first before that rocket takes off into space. Same way, we need to burn these ropes. And what will burn the ropes of hopes is this mathana, is this churning. And this is the churning that has to happen. That I think this, but Guru is saying this. I think this, but Guru is saying this. I think this, but Guru is saying this. And then you explain it to yourself by logic and then by experience. Therefore, Shruti, Yukti and Anubhuti. These are the three methods. Shruti has said something, Shruti will not change. And as Vedantins, we must have full faith in Shruti. If we don't agree with something, we need to change our understanding by thinking about it. Because Shruti words are not going to change. They're changeless. They're immortal. They are the breath of the gods. They will, Vedas will not change. So if I cannot understand it due to some reason, then I must look at my own understanding once again and once again and once again. And logically it has to make sense. And then you check your own experience. And that also has to jive. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Because logic can be wicked logic, kutarka, you know, because logic can prove anything. Mind, like I said, did I say in this class? Mind is very treacherous. Mind will justify anything that we do. Even if I kill somebody, the mind will, yeah, you know, this is what he did and he was a bad person and you feel that's good. No problem. Mind will justify anything. Mind can do that. Mind has the power. So we need to know what is correct and what is not correct. Okay. So in this jnana nirmathana, abhyasa, practice. So this, does it come just by listening? No. Again and again and again. God knows how many thousands and thousands and thousands of times we have to keep reminding ourselves, no, this is false. No, this is false. And also that practice, always keep that practice. I am the Sakshi Chaitanya. I am the Sakshi. I am the Sakshi. I am the Sakshi. As you think, so shall you become. The more you practice, the more perfect it will become. Right? We know that. Driving, we practice, cooking, we practice it, then we become experts at it. So unless there is practice, perfection will not come. Okay? And the bondage, I told you, this is bondage. World is real, world in happiness. I am the body, I am the mind, I have a family, I have this job, I have that job, I have this house is mine, this Dasbodh, you know, Samarth Ramdas, our Marathi saint in Dasbodh, he says, yeah, everybody says, this is my house. The lizard also says, this is my house. The cockroach says, this is my house. The thief who comes, he says, this is my house. The guest who comes, we only tell him, you stay like it, this is your house. So the guest is also saying, this is my house. Whose house is it? And ultimately, who is going to take it? Are you going to take it with you? Have you seen anybody take anything from this world? Nothing. What is yours? Only ego. Only ego is ours. And that's why in Jagdishwara Aarti, we say, Tera Tujhko Arpan. What is yours only, I'm offering it to you. I have not, whatever else I'm offering is yours only. Flowers and prasad and whatever that I offer in puja is yours only. Only thing mine, therefore the 108 names. Every name you surrender the ego. Every name you surrender the ego. Alright? So this is bondage. Ego is bondage. Ego is the greatest bondage. Okay. Now, how did all this come about? So next one. Saiva maya parimohitatma shariramasthaya karoti sarvam sriyanna pana divichitra bhogaihi saiva jagrat paritrukti meti. Shruti is explaining now, Brahmaji is explaining. He says the bondage will get burnt. How did I get into bondage in the first place? That is what is now being explained. The self, deluded by Maya, is he who, identifying with the body, does all actions. All perceptions, feelings and thoughts. In the waking state, it is he, this jiva, who reaches gratification through the varied objects of enjoyment, such as woman, food, wine, etc. The self deluded by Maya, we must understand this. Maya, sama iti Maya, that's the break of that word. Ma is negative. Ma has two meanings. One is a negative, not, no. That is one meaning. Ma is to also measure. So here it is used in the negative way. So sama iti Maya means that which is nothing is Maya. Means Maya is, there is no Maya. Okay, first disorder. Second, Maya is considered as the inherent power of the Lord. Okay, so I have eyes and I have also the power of seeing. Understand, these are two different things. There are the fleshy eyes and then there is the power of seeing. Now, a person, his fleshy eyes may be perfectly normal, but he may not have the power of seeing. Therefore, you have blind people. If you look at their eyes, some of them, they're absolutely normal. There's nothing wrong, but the power is not there. Okay, so it is the power of the Lord. Now, when did this power come into existence? When did my seeing power came? When I was born, it came into existence, no? With me. So this power of the inherent power of the Lord, it is in force ever since the Lord was, means the Lord was not created only. So Maya also is actually not created because it's the power of the Lord. Lord is not born. So Maya also cannot be born. Maya is the inherent power of the Lord. Okay. Now, when does this Maya come into play? When Maya is invoked, okay, then what is Maya? Maya is nothing but the three gunas, which are sattva, rajas, and tamas. Okay, Maya has the three gunas. Pure consciousness is beyond the gunas. Now, when this power is invoked, okay, what do I mean by invoke? See, I have my eyes and I have the power, okay? It is my eyes and it is my power. Now, I can choose to use that power or not use it. Okay? So, it is my power. I choose not to look at you. I can close my eyes. I have the power, but I choose not to use it. So, I close my eyes and I don't look at something in front of me. Okay? Or, I choose to use it. So, I open my eyes and I use that power. Or I choose to do something totally different. So neither am I going to look at you, nor am I going to not look at you, but I'm just going to turn my gaze somewhere else and I'm going to look at something else. Because it is my power. I can use it in any way that I want. Kartum shakyam, akartum shakyam, anyathava kartum shakyam. I can do, I cannot do, or I can choose to do some third thing only with that power. It's my power. Same way, the Lord chooses to use it, chooses not to use it, or do something else. So when he chooses to use it, he is called as Ishvara. Okay? Because when I choose to use the power of seeing, I become a seer. I have the power of speech. Now I have chosen to speak. So I am a speaker. You have chosen to listen, so now you have become a listener. So the same Jaya, who has all these powers, becomes a speaker at one time, becomes a listener at another time, becomes a drinker at another time, if she's drinking water, if she's doing something else, or she's usually looking somewhere else. She's, you know, all these different roles are coming. So when this power is invoked, the power of Maya, Bhagwan, pure consciousness is known as Ishvara. Okay? Then, this Ishvara, this Prakriti or Maya, it is under the power of Ishvara. That is to be understood. So Maya, because it is under the control of Ishvara, Maya does not delude Ishvara. So Ishvara knows that he has the power, but he himself also knows that he is the pure consciousness. Because he does not get deluded by Maya. Okay, so far so good. Now, this same Maya is also known as Avidya when it comes to us, to the individuals. And the reason it is known as Avidya is because we are under the control of Maya. What is Maya? Maya is Trigunatmak. It is Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Now look at our own experience. Are we not under the control of the gunas? When I feel, let me sleep another half an hour more. Let me this. Huh? We are under the control of Maya. And therefore, it is not called Maya, it is called Avidya. Because when we go under the control of the gunas, then we start acting as a slave of the gunas. The gunas have to be our slave. But instead, what is happening is, we are the slave of the gunas. So when Tamas rises in me and tells me to sleep another half an hour more, it's okay, who cares, there's a class, I want to sleep, I am going to sleep, I am under the control of the... So I am a slave. I, as the jiva, am a slave to the gunas. Because every time. So, today we'll stop here and we'll go further next time. Next Monday there will be a class, but after that Monday there won't be a class because Swami Chidatmananji is here. So in the long weekend, there will be no class. Are there any questions? We'll look at this verse again. Before we close, Vinita, you had a question on the Chinmay Book of Hymns, the Guru Shisha Parampara. So if you look at that whole portion, this book has been compiled by Lakshmi Sukumar, right, from San Diego. This is a compilation. So if you look at all these verses that she has taken, they are all in praise of the gurus and giving the Guru Shishya Parampara. Therefore, she starts off with Sadashiv Samarambham. But if you go down, we have Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu also. That's from the Guru Gita. So she has compiled, Sri Chinmay Yatisha said, Guru Vande Tapovanam. So there she shows what she's doing is she's showing this lineage of gurus. That is what she's doing with every verse. There is Samasta Jana Kalyane that is written by Swami Tejomayananji. So all these are not Vedic mantras. If this one is written by Swami Tejomayananji, so she has compiled these from various sources. Okay. But all of them are in praise of the guru, and all of them also are telling us the lineage of Guru Shishya. See, because in the Vedas, the scriptural studies, the way to attain liberation has been given by the Upanishads as Shravana, Manana and Nididhyasana. So when it is said Shravana, it means listening, means when the word listen is used, it presupposes a speaker. Okay, it doesn't say read and do mananam and you will get liberation. It doesn't say that. So just the very word which is used by the Upanishad, listen or do shravanam, do listening, it presupposes a guru. And that is the importance of the guru in scriptural parlance, in the scripture. So this, all of these. So when you go to the last one, she is... If you see the last few ones on page 11, Vyasam Vashishtha Naptaram Shaktai Pautram Akab, these are all describing the gurus. And they are saluting also. Because see, Namo Vasishtaya Namo Namaha. If you see all these. Same way, so Namo Vai Brahma Didaye Vasishtaya Namo. Achutaha Vardhano Brahma. So Brahma, Hari and Shambhu. Guru, Brahma Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. Hari is Vishnu. Brahma is Brahmaji and Shambhu is Shiva. So these are the three deities and these words are the adjectives to those deities. Achatuhu Vadano Brahma, Dvibahuhu Paraha Harihi, Abhala Lochanam Shambhu. Abhala is this. Abhala. The exact meanings I could not find of these words, but what I gather is these are the adjectives to these Brahma, Hari and Shambhu, and Bhagavan Badarayan is one of the gurus. Because if you see this, where does he come? It comes in this, Keshavam Badarayanam. Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhasha Krutav Vande Bhagavantav Punav Punaha. So Sutra Bhasha, so those, all these have written Bhashas, commentaries, and Bhagavantav, they are in place of God, namo puno puno. So this is, this whole portion is salutations to the Guru Shishya Parampara, to the Guru and to the Parampara. This is what this is. So exactly, because I, very honestly speaking, I started looking in the Sanskrit English dictionary that I have, but I could not read. The words are so thin. My glasses, I think, are changing. So I could not. But that is the general import of this portion. Okay? That's what it is.
Thank you.
You know who can help you in more detail is Shivatmananji. Swami Shivatmananda, is he coming to Calgary? Okay. But you can ask him. He will give you more details. That is what I was trying to look for the meanings. But that is what it is. This whole thing is on Guru Shishya Parampara.
So this is really not any other, like it's just what she's pulled out of different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why Samasta Jana Kalyani is written by Guruji. Guruji has written gratitude. He has written quite a few verses or gratitude to his guru. But that's why she's pulled it, because it is to guru. Then this Tapovanam, that Tapovanam is not from the Vedas. Tapovanam is very recent, no. Chinmay, Sri Chinmay Yati, it's referring to our Gurudev.
Okay.
It's referring to our Gurudev. It is not referring to this thing. You understand? So she has pulled it from everywhere. Okay. All this is Narayanam, Padmabhum, Vashishtam, Shaktishta, Tatputra, Parashram cha. So the son of him was Parashara. Vyasam Shukam. So Shuka is the son of Vyasam, Vyasaji. Gaudapadam Mahantam. Gaudapadam is the grand guru of Bhagavan Shankaracharya. Govinda is the guru of Bhagavan Shankaracharya, Govinda Padacharya. And then Gaudapadacharya is his guru. This is all guru. Yogindra Mathasya Shishyam. They're all, every pair is a, there's a guru involved there. That is what she's done. Okay. It's not like one, this thing. Even when we have the Akhanda Mandalakaram, the Guru Stotram, those 13 verses, they're all from the Guru Gita. But they don't appear one after the other in the Guru Gita. They appear at, Guru Gita is like, I think 50, 60 verses or something. And they're interspersed in that text. And these 13 were pulled out and they were made by, not like they were made by the mission or anything. Okay. Not anybody in the Chinmay mission previously. So they pulled it out of the Guru Gita and they compiled these as the import. But that the whole text is Guru Gita. That's where it's coming from. All right. So we shall meet next Monday, which would be the 14th. And happy Mother's Day to all of you. And we will meet next Monday. Okay. All right. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Okay. Hello, everybody.